people in the room by show of hands have an Instagram account? Raise them up high. How many people have Instagram? Look around. That's like a majority of the room. Most of you guys do. If you don't know what it is, it's basically like it's an app on your phone where you can post pictures and other people post pictures. And all you do is you post pictures and then you follow people and you can see the pictures that they post and you can make comments or you can like, and that's pretty much it. You can repost, right? And it's really simple. So it's not like Facebook where there's a million other things you can do. It's not like Twitter where you're posting links to different things. It's just like pictures, comments, like, repost. That's it. And so I follow a bunch of you guys. I have an Instagram account. I follow a bunch of you guys. A bunch of you guys follow me. I don't want you to be offended if I show something that you've posted this morning, because I want to show you something that was posted this past week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. First of all, find us on Instagram, by the way. If you want to follow Wake, what we try to do is just post like encouraging scriptures or reminders of truth. So if you want to follow it, it's at Wake Updates. You can find that on Instagram. Also, Wake Updates is where you can find us on Facebook and Twitter if you want to connect with us there. So follow us there. But here is the post that I saw. It caught my eye this week. Go ahead and put that up. The one with the, yeah. It said this, nobody cares anymore. That was the picture. And these are the hashtags that were underneath it. They were the comments that went along with it. I'm not going to say who posted this. But it said hashtag nobody cares, hashtag I'm useless, hashtag I'm all alone, hashtag hate my life. Here's the deal. If you're not able to express what's going on and get it out of your system and then refill it with something that is true, with a perfect father, then you're going to end up letting it come out like this in a way that is a lie. This is a total lie. All right? Micah was able to express the truth, say, hey, the situation's not good. That's true. But then, like she said, there's a good God and a perfect father, and God has a plan for perfection. But if all you know is what's not true and you never get it out and it just stays inside, you're going to start to believe it. Believe a lie that nobody cares anymore. Believe a lie that you're useless, that you're all alone, and that you hate your life. And what I want to do this morning, after getting the lies out, is replace those lies with truth about the lavish love of God. This is the scripture I quoted earlier. I want it up on the screen because this is the truth to replace that lie. You're not all alone. You're not useless. Your life is not something you should hate. You see, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The truth is this, that you're never alone. That God is always with you. That you're not useless. You're useful in a plan that God created you for as a part of His kingdom and building His kingdom and His glory. And as His children, we get to be a part of that. And we are His children, and we have been loved lavishly. So we don't need to hate our lives. We can love every minute of our lives if we understand the love of our perfect Father. But here's the trouble, and here's why we end up vomiting out stuff like that on Instagram, is because we often think of ourselves as something other than God's child. We don't really understand who we are as God's children. And so I want to go through quickly a list. This might be how you think of yourself. You might think of yourself as maybe like God's grandchild. Like you get spoiled a couple times a year at your birthday and Christmas from your grandparents. Like maybe every once in a while you go on a church retreat or you have a really good small group or you go to camp and it's like God is just spoiling you with His love. But then the rest of the year it's like He's gone. And you kind of go through life like you're God's grandchild, like looking for the next time that you get lavished with His love. But you don't really feel like you're lavished with His love all the time. Some of us think of ourselves as God's prisoner. Like He has got us under lock and key, and He's trying to keep us from having fun. That God is trying to restrict us from all the things we want to do, and we are locked up, and He's trying to take away our freedom. No, we don't live our lives singing, I am free, like we opened this morning. We say, I am trapped by God and my church and my parents and religion. And we think of God, and we think of ourselves as a prisoner of God. Sometimes we think of ourselves as God's master, like Aladdin with a lamp. And He's supposed to do everything to make us happy. But we've only got a certain way to do that. You got to rub the lamp, then you only get 3 wishes, and you don't want to overdo it with God. And so you only go to God with things that you really need help with, and then everything else you just kind of don't worry about. But when you really need Him, He's there to do whatever you want. And so we only go to God when we desperately want something. Oh, God, please, I've never had a boyfriend. I just really want a boyfriend. This is a girl talking. I really want a boyfriend. And, you know, I need one. And so, God, I've never asked you for anything before in my life, but I'm just asking you for this. Aren't you supposed to give me 3 wishes or maybe 10 or 5? I don't know what it is. And we think of ourselves as God's master where he has to grant our wishes. But we there's rules, right? So maybe you don't think of yourself as a child of God. You think of yourself as a grandchild, or maybe you think of yourself as a prisoner, or maybe like an Aladdin. Maybe you think of yourself as just a worker, an employee, that you work for God. It's one of my favorite movies, Good Burger. If you've ever seen Good Burger, you know who these guys are. If you haven't, don't forget these words, Good Burger. Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. May I take your order? I love it. So check out Good Burger. These are employees at Good Burger. We think of ourselves as God's employees. Hey, I've got to follow his rules, do what he says, and then I can get my paycheck. If I want to get rewarded, then I've got to do the right work. And we say, I'm God's worker. I'm his employee. I mean, oftentimes we look at ourselves as all these other things besides God's child. And we wonder why all of a sudden we think, oh man, I'm useless. I didn't do my work right. I'm worthless. I hate my life. I got to follow all these rules. I'm a prisoner. I'm all alone. My grandpa lives far away, and he only comes to visit whenever I go to camp. I'm alone. I'm useless. I hate my life. Because we think of ourselves as something other than God's child. Another thing we think of ourselves is maybe just a citizen in God's kingdom. I'm a Christian. I'm a part of this church. This is the inauguration of President Barack Obama. And there's tens of thousands of people gathered at his inauguration. And they're just in this huge crowd. And if you're at the back of the crowd or even in the middle of it, I mean, you don't have a relationship with the president. You're just a citizen. And sometimes we think, I'm just one in the crowd. I mean, there's so many people in this world. How could God know me and lavishly love me? I'm just alone, and I hate my life, and I'm useless. And we think that because we don't understand what it means to be God's child. So we are loved children of God. That is the message this morning, is that we are loved children of God. Let me show you another place in the Scriptures where this is true. The book of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says, "To all who believed him and accepted him." Have you accepted him? Answer me. Have you accepted him? Do you accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you accept that he died on the cross to pay for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that God loves you and wants to spend an eternity with you in heaven? Okay, so this is for you. But to all who said yes, to all who believed him, accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not workers for God, not prisoners of God, not just citizens in this massive kingdom where he is the king and you're far away from him. Not just grandchildren where he comes to visit you every once in a while. He's given you the right to become children of God. They're reborn. You've got a new birth, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You're born again, children of God. And that is who you are. So if we are loved children of God, I want to give you a definition for what that is. I want you to know who you are this morning, because you're not useless. You're not all alone, and you shouldn't hate your life. So here's the definition of who you are as a child of God. Because remember, our parents might not be perfect, and so we might not even understand what it means to be a child of a perfect, loving parent. So here's what you are. We're loved children of God. Number one, I'm going to tell you 5 things about who you are. A loved child rests secure. You can rest. You don't have to worry. You don't have to strive. You don't have to be a worker to work to please God and to alleviate yourself from his punishment. His punishment has been put on Jesus Christ, and you do not have to be punished. You can rest secure. You don't have to have fear of death. You don't have to have fear of persecution or what other people think about you. You don't have to have fear of your grades. You don't have to have fear of anything. You can rest secure. Proverbs 3:24 through 26 says, "You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security, and he'll keep your foot from being caught in a trap." I mean, even death cannot get you outside of God's protection. You are always in his hand and under his care. Even if you are getting burned at the stake for your profession of faith in Christ, he will deliver you safely into glory. And so you can rest. the whole world turns against you, you know you have a loving Father who's in your corner. Number one, a loved child of God rests secure. Number two, a loved child resembles the parent. All right, put up the picture of my kids. They might be earlier in the slideshow. This is my boy Cole. I just took this on Friday night. We had a little, we grilled out in the backyard, just our family, just a little family time. And this is sweet 2-year-old Cole. And he is my child. And here's Chapman learning how to hula hoop as a 4-year-old. All right, and he is just rocking it. And he hates his haircut, but we like it because we don't have to do anything to fix it. These are my loved children, all right? These boys rest secure at night. They lay down in their bed and they conk out. They're not afraid of anything getting them because they've got a loving Father. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm a loving Father. And they begin to resemble me. Now, they look more like their mom, but a loved child resembles the parent, and even in the way they act. And here's a simple little thing. For those of you that know me, probably more leaders than kids, my small group guys are not here, they're on a trip, but I'm the kind of person that if you come to me for advice, like, I can immediately give you a list. And so, like, my wife and some of the people I work with will make fun of me because they'll be like, hey, what should we do about this situation? Or what do you think about this issue? And I'll be like, two things. And I'll go, one and two. Or I'll go, all right, there's three things. Look at me. I'm giving you a list of five things right here. I love lists. Like, they just come out of me, right? So the other night, Chapman's in bed. Daddy! Daddy! He's calling out. Oh, I jump up. I run in there. Chapman, what do you need? And he looks at me and goes, two things, Dad. And I was like, that's me. I'm talking to me. He goes, two things, Dad. One, I need you to help me go back to sleep. Two, I need some more water. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And I was like so proud. I'm like, he's making lists. Sure, it's 3 a.m, right? But that was really cool. He just made a list for me. Sure, there's only two things on it. I'm like, buddy, you could think of maybe three more. But the children start to resemble their parents, and you'll see it more and more as you get older. Some of you guys look just like your parents, and you hate it when your friends are like, you look just like your dad. And you're like, I'm a girl. I look like a 40-year-old man. Well, like a girl version of the 40-year-old man. Still, not good. But you begin to resemble your parents. If your parents have red hair, you might have red hair. If they have brown hair, you might have brown hair. If they're tall, you might be tall. If they're short, you might be short. On and on it goes. Guess what, guys? This is cool. You are loved children of God. That means that you have the opportunity as you grow and mature to look more and more like God. I mean, the Bible says that when he created us in his image. And he has made you to show himself to the world. And so you get to become more and more like God. That is incredible. You have purpose. You're not useless. You're useful. Now you have a purpose to resemble the parent, to resemble your father. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 calls us to this. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. You're his children. Act like him. Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So we're loved children of God. A loved child rests secure. A loved child resembles the parent. And a loved child, he represents the family. Here's my example of this. My family goes to the 5:30 service here at Watermark. And when church gets out after 5:30, my kids love nothing more than there's that little part between the buildings over there that's blocked off from traffic. And they love just to run around there with all the other 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds that just got out of their classes. And they just run and they chase each other and they push each other. And I don't know why they push, but they push each other and it's playful and they just have a blast. And the other day, I looked over, and Chapman was running around, chasing someone, but this is how he was running. And I was like, Chapman, get over here! And he comes over, and I said, boy, I said, make a fist with your hands. And he goes, and I said, that'll make you run faster. And he was like, and so then, now he's running like this. That looks much better than this, all right? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let me just be honest with you for a second. As a dad, I was embarrassed to have my kid running around like this. All right? Because he represents my family. That's a Peniel. And Peniels don't have to flap their wings while they're running. All right? Peniels don't have limp wrists that are just flopping around. They make fists and they run, all right? And I told them, I said, it'll make you faster, and if anybody messes with you, you're ready to punch. And he was like, yeah. And then he went and punched a kid, and I was like, that's my boy. No, I'm just kidding. But hey, that's not a made-up story. Like, I'm 100% serious. I saw in that moment all these people standing around, and I'm like, he represents my family. My family doesn't run like that. Now, that's a silly example. But as he grows older and older, and I send him out into the world, he is a representative of the Peniel name, and that's important to me. And guess what? As children of God, you are representatives of his family. Look at what the scriptures say about who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God is forgiving people of their sins and bringing them back to himself and to his family, no longer counting people's sins against them. And then he gave us the message of this reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, which means we're his representatives. God is making his appeal to the world through us. You're useless? No. You are God's ambassadors. You are on a mission. You have a purpose as a child of God to represent him and his family. So we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. A loved child rests secure. A loved child resembles a parent, represents the family, and a loved child receives an inheritance. When I die, my kids get everything I've ever owned. And it might not be a lot to you, but at least it's probably going to be a house and whatever that house is worth and whatever's in it and some cars and whatever money we have saved up that's left over at that point, that goes to my kids because they're my kids and they get to inherit what I have. I don't give it to someone else. I give it to my family. As children of God, everything he has, he gives to us. And he has infinity. I'm not lying. God has infinity. Everything belongs to him. Nothing belongs to me. My money is God's. It's actually not mine. My house is God's. My clothes, my car, everything, my own family, it all belongs to him. And he gives us everything. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman, subject to the law, and God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so he could adopt us as his very own children. I mean, this is all through the Bible. Do you see this? That God wants to adopt you as his child? God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. All right? We say, Dada. They said, Abba, when they were babies. We are little children who depend on God. And now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, God made you his heir. You are his heir. And so 1 Peter says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we've been born again to be his children because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with the great expectation that we'll be raised from the dead and we will have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. So here's your summary. We're loved children of God, and here's who you are. Oh, I've got one more, the fifth one. A loved child relates with his siblings, right? Like if Chapman's really secure and he knows I'm going to give him everything he needs and everything he wants, he's not going to fight with his brother Cole for food because he knows I'm going to give Cole food and I'm going to give Chapman food. You don't have to fight. Everything belongs to your father and he's going to take care of you both. You don't have to fight with each other. You're children of God. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to protect yourself and defend yourself and fight. We get to have unity with each other. We get to have trust in our Father together. 1 John chapter 4 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Love your brothers and sisters. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Chapter 5, right after this in 1 John, says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his children, too. You're part of this family. You relate to his children. And Galatians 3 says, we're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all have been united with Christ in baptism. I put on Christ like putting on new clothes, and therefore, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We get to have unity We get to be a part of a family. You might be an only child. I don't care. You're my brother. You might be the youngest in your family and everybody's already off away at college. You're my sister. You've got a family right here. Your small group is your family. This room is your family. You have siblings, brothers and sisters, who will love you and care for you with the love of their father, and you can share in that love together. So here's your summary. We're loved children of God. We're loved children of God. And a loved child rests, resembles the parent, represents him, receives an inheritance, and relates to his siblings. So here's your application. How do I apply this? How do I become a child of God? Or how do I act like a child of God? I'm going to encourage you to make a list of things you can do. I want you to go home with a journal. Pull out a piece of paper if you don't have a journal and write down a list of how you can do these things. How can I rest in God? How can I resemble God? How can I represent God? How can I receive from God? And let me just go back to Instagram here for a second. I think you guys have other lists. Here's something that one of my friends on Instagram posted last week. The list for summer. Hot body, long hair, tan skin, and a boyfriend. This was a girl who posted this. This was her list for the summer. 20 likes on that post, and then a friend put a comment, "We're doing this together." All right? I'm going to give you a free side lesson here. This is for the girls, only the girls. Guys, you don't have to listen. All right, you ready? Girls, this does not need to be your list for the summer. No, put the thing back up. Put the list back up. This does not need to be your list for this summer. You don't need to be concerned, ladies, about a hot body, long hair, tan skin, and a boyfriend. This list is empty. And if this is your list, it is deceptive to these guys in this room. And here's why. Proverbs 31:30 says this. This is a free lesson here, girls. Charm, a hot body, long hair, tan skin, is deceptive. And beauty, hot body, long hair, tan skin, it does not last. We know what beauty does not last means. I'm going to come back to what charm is deceptive means, how you are deceiving us and lying. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Your goal, your list for this summer should to be more of a woman who fears the Lord. Not hotter, longer hairer, and tanner. All right? Because here's how charm is deceptive. I want you to get this. I want you to understand what this verse means. Deceptive is saying one thing and showing another. All right? It'd be deceptive for me to say, I'm holding five fingers behind my back. But then if you were to look, I'm only holding two. I'm saying one thing but showing another. That's deceptive. Here's what a hot body, long hair, and tan skin says. Everybody in this room, girls, would say, I want to be noticed for who I am. I want to be loved for who I really am. But when you go for the hot body, the tan skin, and the long hair, when you post pictures of yourself laying out in your swimsuit or posing in your swimsuit, here's what you're saying. You're showing, I want to be noticed for how I look. Everybody wants to be noticed and loved and cared for who they really are. But what you show in the way you dress, and the swimsuits that you pick, and the pictures that you post, and the list that you make, what you show is that you want to be noticed for how you look. And guess what? You will be. You will be noticed for how you look, but you won't be noticed for who you are. And so whatever kind of bait you're putting out there, that's the kind of fish you're going to catch. You understand what I'm saying? So if you want a guy that's going to notice you for who you are, don't show off how you look. Because then you're going to get a guy that's only interested in the outside and not the inside. You got me? Free lesson. Bonus lesson for the girls. There you go. So, here's the Instagram list for summer. The Instagram list, we've already gone over it, but here's your list. If you're a love child of God, your list for the summer is, how do I rest with God? How do I resemble God? What can I do that is like God? How can I love others and show people God's love? How can I represent God? Where can I be a representative of Him? Can I do that on Instagram? Can I be a representative of God there or on Facebook or even like at a sleepover or at the pool or at camp or wherever I go on vacation? Can I be a representative of God? And how can I receive from God what He has to offer me? That's your list for summer. So you're out of school this week or in a few weeks. Now you've got a list for summer that's worthwhile. Now let me just say this. I don't care if you grow your hair out over the summer. I don't care if you get a tan. I don't care if you work out. I really don't. Like, I'm not saying those things are sinful and you should be judged for that. But if that's your only list for the summer and this isn't your list for the summer, you're missing out. You're missing out big time. So lay out by the pool, that's fine. Don't get a haircut, I don't care. But man, while you're doing those things, rest with God. Think of how your heart can resemble Him, how you can represent Him to others, and then you can receive His love for you. And that's the way to live. That's a list for the summer. You're a child of God. You're not a worker. You're not a grandchild that He only visits every once in a while. You're not His master. You're not just a citizen in His kingdom. You're His child. Live like it. Let me pray. Dear God, I pray that You would help us to understand and know You as a loving Father. And I thank You that You are perfect. I pray that You would help us to express the confusions and doubts we have about that and get it out of our system so that we can receive from You Your lavish love and live as children of God. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.